Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be back, VRTrader.com, and I do want to disclose that we have an educational publication for over 40 years, but I'm not currently a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice. So this is for informational purposes and entertainment purposes only. I think they said years ago, if you can inform and entertain at the same time in the financial business, that's where you are successful. And I see the big names like Joe Granville, and now more recently, recent decade, Jim Cramer. You know, a little show, little entertainment along with information is the way to communicate. So thank you for having me.
Do you have a special offer for our loyal listeners?
Yeah, we sure do. We're going to give them 50% off for any time frame for any of the newsletters. And that promo code, when you get to the promo code order form, is 2022 half off, 2022. H-A-L-F-O-F-F, just like it sounds, and that gives you 50% off on any of the subscriptions. And we have a whole bunch of letters, you know, metal resource letter, the cannabis letter, our market timing letter, and so forth and so on. So you can go to the homepage, VRTrader.com, you have your pick.
Mark, the central banks around the world, we have the Bank of Canada, in U.S., you have the U.S. Federal Organization, the Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve, yeah.
Right. Now, people are under the impression that the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve are government organizations. But in reality, the government appoints the chair, but they're made up of the biggest banks. It's a private organization that tells the government in the country what to do.
Correct. And there's a landmark work. Many of you wouldn't think that it's a joke, but it's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. And it was written, you know, a couple decades ago, and it's about 600 pages in a document. Jekyll Island, by the way, is the island in Georgia where the Federal Reserve was actually created. The guys all sat down, all the big bankers, and they decided, let's do this, and then get it shoved through Congress, which they did, I think it was on December Christmas Eve 1913, and it documents just that one of those points, you know, for our Federal Reserve in this country is a federally chartered private corporation. The employees are paid by the private corporation, not by the federal government. The guards out in front, if you do your homework, they're not being paid by the federal government. It's all a private entity chartered by the federal government. And I'm in the view, and I have been for, you know, as long as this book has been created, it's been, you know, a couple of decades, is the Federal Reserve should be abolished. I mean, Alexander Hamilton abolished, I mentioned this many times, the National Bank in the 1840s because he thought they were nothing but trouble. We've learned that the Federal Reserve has caused 18 recessions and really hasn't met up to its objectives at all. It, and nothing else caused more problems than it created. They're late in their movement, and frankly, they don't fully disclose what they do. Everybody thinks about, you know, buying and selling bonds, the bonds that are issued by the government, and they buy it from the Treasury and sell it back to the Treasury, and then they, you know, lower or raise interest rates, so they play with the money supply, but they also do a lot of unscrupulous things, which no one ever talks about, like buying stocks and private corporations or bonds and private corporations, and a lot of this came out in the Freedom of Information Act decades ago, and it still is being happened. It still happens today, and it's run by economists who I don't know how best to describe them. I mean, of course, they were educated, they went to school, and so forth. But these experts are just incompetent morons, really not experts at all in finance or the markets. And just by virtue of what they're doing now, thinking they can control inflation, or they had something to do with the inflation when they really have no power over it whatsoever. You know, they could try to raise interest rates all they want and maybe destroy the incentive to do business and borrow money. But the causes for inflation, you know, weren't triggered by them. If they were so smart, they would have eased on interest rates, you know, long ago if they thought that was going to slow things down. But we know it was COVID, the fact that the world economies were frozen, the fact that we have crop shortages and stuff, but not only due to a fertilizer situation, but actually planetary situations where the planet is cooling, not warming, and there's shortages of food and all kinds of interesting things that are happening that are outside their control. So, you know, you turn on the media and it's the Fed. And, you know, my real opinion, it's the war. I mean, we're heading into a war. And we're preparing for it now. We're sending billions of dollars of equipment and supplies into Ukraine. You have Democratic leaders like Pelosi from the House of Representatives and Chuck Schumer from the U.S. Senate visiting Ukraine. Instead of spending billions of dollars protecting the U.S. border, they're spending it trying to defend a worthless country, Ukraine, which essentially, you know, I don't hate to say it, it's almost like a criminal country. We find out they have secret labs going on. There's a lot of crime there tied to the Bidens. I'm not saying everybody in the country is bad, but it's a bad place. It's not, wholly perfect society by any stretch. Plus the fact they had all these nuclear weapons and on and on and on. So, you know, Putin is not excited about it, and he's going to be intimidated. And if something happens to him, those who succeed Putin probably could be more aggressive than he would be. And I think we're just setting up for a war, and I think that's what the market is really telling us. And, you know, I'm much more bearish, not because of what the Fed does or doesn't do, it's but what the reality is out there. And we're not even talking about Taiwan or anything else. I just read that we're sending a couple warships heading in that direction. I don't know if it's a show of force or whatever. So there's so many other issues out there besides the Fed. But jumping back to the Fed, you know, they should be abolished. And it was interesting on CNBC today. I was listening, and I didn't make note of the analyst there. But, you know, I've been sort of pounding the table on this issue for years and years. And, of course, who am I? They're not going to put me on CNBC anymore. I was on there years ago, and I said I was going to write a book, How to Do the Opposite of CNBC and Make Money. So I guess they didn't appreciate my comment and didn't invite me back on the network, even though I'd been on many times along with other national shows. But I actually had an analyst on today. And he actually questioned the Fed. I mean, you know, usually, oh, the Fed's going to raise rates next week, or how much they're going to raise or not raise, and is it going to be 2% in a year from now versus 0.5% now, and on and on. And this guy actually brought up some of the points that I'm making about, well, maybe we should have Congress look into the Fed and decide if they're really doing their job. I know they're not doing their job. I go so far as I've said earlier, they should be abolished and let the free market decide interest rates and prices, which is ultimately what happens anyway. So the free market determines everything, and the institution is incompetent, and if anything, more destructive than constructive. And we saw Alan Greenspan back in the 80s, you know, slamming on the brakes and then hitting the accelerator and up and down with the rates. I mean, these people are really, what I said at the top of my interview here, they're incompetent morons. I mean, they're not really, they don't understand the free market. They think they have power that really doesn't exist. And then they do crazy things like buy company stocks and bonds and play around and print money and all kinds of, even Bernanke. I've said this before in a previous interview. He was quoted, that was the former Fed chairman back around, was it 2007 or 8 during the financial crisis. He actually said in an interview that the depression that occurred in the world or the U.S. back in the 1930s. He said, yes, we caused it. I mean, he actually admitted that the Fed contributed to the depression because I believe they raised rates at the time when they shouldn't have. So he actually was quote said, yeah, we helped create that problem. We're partially responsible. And it was actually a quote at the time. So we knew that the Fed was incompetent back then, and they continue to be incompetent since. So, you know, what are we going to do about this? We're just talking about it. But, you know, whatever the Fed's doing now or not doing now is not going to change the stock market. It's not going to change the world economy. It's not going to change anything except give something for people to talk about. And yes, it could affect your ability to do business if you have to borrow money at higher rates and so forth. But is that going to cure the inflation that we're seeing or cure any of the other problems we have in the world right now, which are significant? And if anything, they're a stumbling block to things improving, in my opinion. So if they continue to raise rates dramatically and go crazy the way Paul Volcker did, back in the late 70s, early 1980s, you will definitely cause a U.S. recession or worse. But does that clear up all the other problems that I just discussed? And it may not. You could still have inflation, the shortages of materials, the shortages of food, potential war brewing around the world. I mean, it's just another problem that shouldn't exist. So I think that we need to get rid of the Fed. They need to keep their mouths shut, do nothing, keep rates where they're at, and see how other problems solve themselves, because raising rates is not going to stop inflation, and the causes are not within their power to control. So it's really a comedy of errors when you think about it, and the fact everybody's talking about it. The stock market didn't top out because the Fed raised rates. It topped out because we had all these shortages coming in. Business couldn't do business. War is brewing. And there are other factors involved here. So they're looking at the wrong thing. And, it was up to me. I have a bill in front of Congress to abolish the Fed, get it approved in the Senate, and let the free market decide where interest rates are going. And meanwhile, we'll have to work on all the other inflationary and supply problems as best we can, if we can at all. I mean, they may be out of our control now until things really settle down. I mean, we can't control the weather. If there's cooling on the planet and there's shortages of food, where there's shortages of materials to produce food, I mean, how are these things going to be solved? But certainly not by the Federal Reserve. So you heard my little tirade. That's my opinion of the Fed and where we stand at the moment on the Fed front.
Well, I listened to the Fed chair the last time he spoke, and he said, well, we can't do anything about supply. We can only control demand by higher interest rates. We won't be able to afford to buy anything. But if you have supply shortages, how do higher interest rates encourage people to invest in more efficient food production?
Right. Do people stop eating? Do people stop eating? I mean, where are they going to get the food, right? They have to eat. So you curtail demand for food, so you're just going to kill a lot of people. I mean, what that's all about. Like I say, it's morons. And I hate to sound so disrespectful, but they just don't belong where they belong. And when you hear their comments and they talk about stuff, when they're interviewed, each of the Fed governors, you can just tell they don't understand free markets, they don't understand the stock market, they don't understand economies or currencies or why the world is where it is right now. All we know, the governments have been printing money like crazy, done nothing but destroy the U.S. dollar, which is down, 95-97% since the Fed was created. And then Europe, they've had zero interest rates for the longest period of time, can't get that economy going there, and that's one of the reasons why this whole issue of the grand reset came up, much of it is discussed at Davos, and you hear comments coming from George Soros and from Klaus Schwab and those who believe in the one world government. It seems like they're trying to destroy the world, and when you hear that comment, again, I keep saying this over and over, but you just don't hear it mentioned in the national press. But one of the things Klaus Schwab is talking about with his one world government is that, you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. So their goal is ultimately to confiscate everything from everybody, and we live in a socialist environment, and that's their big goal. So I guess in one sense, you have to support Putin and you have to support China, because I don't believe they want to be part of one world government unless they themselves control the government. They don't want the West controlling the government, certainly not the idiots that run the White House or Congress here in the U.S. And I don't think they want to give up all their money and assets and say we'll be happy and own nothing. I don't think Putin would agree with that, and I don't think President Xi in China would agree with that. So you got to pick who your enemies and who your friends are here. I mean, do you want to own nothing and be happy and have them control the world? Or do you want to have a China or a Putin involved, maybe defending some of your rights, which is essentially what they're doing? So it's really crazy what's going on out there. And we have a bunch of nutcases that are running the show here in the West. And now you can understand why there's a war in Europe.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out.
Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Western governments have made it very clear they hate fossil fuel. They don't want you to drive a car that's powered by gasoline or diesel. They want you to drive electric. Where are we going to get all the battery metals, and who can afford to buy these very expensive electric cars, and will there be enough electricity to charge them up?
I know. It's, first of all, who can afford the electric vehicle? They want everybody to own a vehicle. Let's assume everybody wanted to buy an electric vehicle today, or they're forced by some law that 24 hours or for 4 weeks you got to own an electric vehicle. We're banning all gas cars, not to mention the economic destruction that would cause in the, other industries that are related to fuel and so forth. But, where are they going to get the power to charge it up? There isn't enough power stations or power available to charge all the millions of vehicles that would have to be charged. The cost of, we don't have the vehicles to begin with, and then you don't have the power to power them. And then, how are you going to produce the vehicles? You still need crude oil-related products for many of the components of the vehicle. And, if you believe in solar power and wind power, you still need, oil-based materials, and then you have all the precious metals and the specialty metals, rare earths and so forth that are needed to produce it. Where's all that going to come from? Sure, if you want to gradually move to a fossil fuel free driving experience, it's a gradual multi-decade, if not 100-year process where you slowly build nuclear plants or other energy plants. And they don't like coal, but coal's been, more in demand now because places like Germany cut off their nuclear and they're starting to use coal, which is really funny. You slowly build all the power sources to be able to power those vehicles, and you don't shut down oil production. You gradually give, businesses and individuals incentive to, buy the electric vehicle. You say you give them tax breaks, and it's a slow transition process while you're building the energy sources that are needed to actually charge your vehicle and supply the energy you need. And this attitude, just, stop oil production, cut it off now, force people into it, but, people necessarily can't afford it, even if they wanted to buy an electric vehicle. And I'm sure there's not enough around available, even if everybody wanted to. And then, of course, as you mentioned, who's going to power it, and where are the charging stations to do it? And we don't have that power. So it's really, again, it's morons in charge again, who are not thinking through what it really takes to go through a transition, which is a multi-decade, if not 50-100-year transition to do that. And that's really, really amazing about the whole process. So it's creating a lot of disruption. And, ultimately, hopefully politics, at least here in the U.S., changes some of the people in power, and maybe hopefully in Canada as well. And you get some people in who say, gee, yeah, it's nice to have clean air and have more electric vehicles, but let's do it in a progressive, intelligent, affordable way, and not throw people into a situation where they're paying $6 a gallon for gasoline here in the U.S. And hurting businesses and actually helping trigger a recession on a certain level by doing it so dramatically, in an unthought process that we really need to see here. So it's, I hope I got to the answer which you're looking for, but that's sort of where we're at, which is crazy.
Well, we're paying $9.32 a gallon for gasoline in Vancouver. India and China's okay. They want to power electric vehicles. They're building hundreds of coal-fired electricity plants. How's that going to help with air pollution?
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, it's anti-nuclear, which is really the only answer. Because nuclear is infinite energy forever. I mean, you have, military ships or submarines that can cruise for years in the oceans run by internal nuclear plants and inside the ships. I mean, in outer space, they're the same thing. Rockets in space will have nuclear generators in them, of fuel sources. You go with what makes sense. And, everybody was fearful we're going to destroy the atmosphere with the coal, and then we have scrubbers and things that clean things up, but we'd rather do that. We're actually basing it on fossil fuels, which we're trying to get rid of, right?
Mark, one thing that they're not talking about as well, when I was in England 15 years ago, the headline in the newspaper was, compressed air car travels 80 kilometers at 80 kilometers an hour. The compressed air turns a turbine, which produces electricity. How cheap would that be to run? But I can see there's no money to be made from compressed air cars, so who wants one? Me.
We might as well steam engine, too, right? Go back to steam engine. Maybe that's the clean way to do it. I don't know how much power that generates. I do, but the fact that we even, places like Germany, are actually using coal when we're supposed to be anti-fossil fuels is a joke. I mean, what's the point? They think Germany closed down the nuclear. I mean, it's when the lights go out, people are freezing, or there's no power. Unfortunately, there's a big lead time to get these nuclear plants built. But, you know, China's not holding back. I hear they're building them in Saudi Arabia and Africa. You know, other people that have other nations and places that have some common sense. And for some reason, the idiots in this country or in the West, in the Western Hemisphere, just seem to have a fear of something which is used on a military basis all the time and in our space program and other places, and they're fearful. I mean, here I'm in Phoenix, and the largest nuclear reactor in the U.S. is probably within, 30-40-minute drive of where I'm at right now. And, you know, you can sit here all day worrying that thing's going to blow up and they'll be radiated and so forth. It's been, power is a good part of the southwestern United States. And it's right here in Phoenix. It's the largest in the U.S. So I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm more worried about the idiots in Washington trying to generate a war with Russia by sending supplies over there and trying to intimidate somebody who does have nuclear weapons and can use them. So that's a greater risk, and in fact might occur, unfortunately, if things continue on the current track. So you might be better off spending your money on some bomb shelters, as we did back in the 1950s, 1960s, to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself from your own government.
Something else some people aren't talking about, helium reactors. They're very small. They're compact, the size of a telephone booth almost. And helium isn't radioactive because it doesn't have the extra electron to pick up the radioactivity. More research needs to be done there as well. Now,
hydrogen is hydrogen too, because of the hydrogen energy as well, right?
Yeah. Now, taking a look at geocosmic events that might affect our world and markets, anything we should be aware of?
Well, there's, first of all, we have the solstice coming up on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about this all the time. You know, markets change direction or have volatility around the various equinoxes and solstice. So you got the summer solstice on the 21st. It'll be interesting how the market's already reacting and probably will sell off into that point in time. It'll be interesting to see. We've got a full moon on June 14th coming up. Many times you see highs and lows around the full moons and the various lunar cycles. And of course you got the Fed meeting next week, the 14th, 15th. So everybody's going to be talking about that, but I'm going to be looking at some of the other factors. There's a strange new sunspot that some of the, space scientists have just reported. It's emerging on the sun's southern atmosphere, and it's a little strange according to the articles that I'm reading. It's circular. It has magnetic field. It's tilted 90 degrees away from the normal sunspots. So whether this is going to have some impact on us in terms of CMEs and, other outbursts from the sun, which could, pretty much knock the heck out of us if it does ever occur, like that Carrington event we always sort of joke about. But it is something that just came up in the news in the last 24 hours. So that's something to keep in mind. And, I don't like to cover any broadcast here unless we touch really briefly on the secret space program and the UFO phenomenon, which I think is, to a certain degree, it may be behind a lot of what we're seeing in the news and what's happening around the world. I mean, suddenly we get reports out of Congress that they're talking about something they haven't talked about in 50 years. And literally, I get stuff every day. I mean, I must be a center point of connection here in terms of videos, in terms of YouTube reports of various sightings around the planet, objects that can't be explained, and activity is picking up. And I think We're going to find out that a lot that's happened in the last couple of years, the COVID, the war in Ukraine, the shortages in the planet, the supply issues, all these nonsense could be somehow related to this whole UFO event, and meaning that maybe something spectacular is coming that we're getting prepared for. I know it sounds like science fiction, but I don't believe that at all, because I'm convinced that we do have UFO activity, and we have been in touch with extraterrestrials for decades and decades, and there's Freedom of Information Act documents that were released years ago about even Dwight Eisenhower supposedly having meetings with extraterrestrials, making some type of agreement. I think it was either at Vandenberg Air Force Base out in Southern California or somewhere near there. There's all these documents that actually came out through the Freedom of Information Act. A lot of it was didactic and blacked out. I mean, there's been strange things that are so strange that, you know, when you bring them up, people say, man, this guy is just from totally left field. But it's just the opposite. It actually is the reality, but it's being covered up. So I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, you know, if it's that significant and these things have been going on, is it somehow, you know, related to everything that happens in our world day to day? I mean, do we create events like COVID to distract us from other stuff like that that could be going on? I guess everybody's in their house wearing masks and not looking up at the sky, that something might be happening up there, for example. So, you know, I just think, these strange terms all the time. I've been a contrarian my entire life. I've been successful. I consider myself a market survivor because I think along lines that most people don't think of, including, as I mentioned earlier, the broadcast, getting rid of the Federal Reserve, which nobody would even think about talking about. Oh, it's like religious institution, it exists, it's there, we have to deal with it, we have to talk about it. I'm saying get rid of the damn thing, and now finally people are beginning to question it. Well, don't be surprised if there's some dramatic extraterrestrial event in the not too near future. And that's really what I like to leave you with, because that's one of my gut feelings. There's something coming, we're being prepared. I can't describe what it is. I'm not saying it's going to be like Klaatu landing on the White House lawn or wherever that lawn was in Washington, D.C. when the film was shot, Day of the Earth Stood Still, back in 1953. I'm not saying it's that type of event, but there's something else going on, and I'm convinced of it. I hope we see it sooner rather than later, because it is happening now, but it's just not being revealed to us in the way that it really should be. You know, maybe they're planning their time when things get so bad that we have to hear about it at some last-minute moment of enlightenment, and we'll find out. But anyway, just something I want to throw out at you. It's a big interest of mine, and there's very strong reason why it's being put in front of us, why it's on TV, why Congress had a meeting just a couple of weeks ago about it. This is no accident. We're getting ready. We're being ready for something, and it should be really interesting when it happens, Jim.
Right. NASA says it'll release their study on unexplained aerial phenomena. They're not UFOs anymore. They've changed the name, which, again, always makes me suspicious. Why did you change the name? What was wrong with UFO? Maybe in 9 months we'll find out that ET is real, officially.
Right. Well, that's the thing, but we got some really interesting stuff going on for longest time. But anyway, thank you for mentioning that point. That's something we have to consider part of it.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's always fun. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, we'll ask that question for you if you send it to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.